You're listening to Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Actor Callahan Scogman isn't shy about showcasing his Wisconsin roots. The fictional town of Johnston, Wisconsin, serves as the backdrop for his debut novel. It's called Blue Graffiti, and he calls it a love letter to small-town America.
Scogman weaves together his passion for writing with his professional acting career in the Netflix hit fantasy series Shadow and Bone. He played Matthias Halvar. It was a huge break in his acting career.
Callahan Scogman joins us now between book tour stops and film auditions. Callahan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you having me. It's been quite the adventure so far, and I love the opportunity to kind of sit down and touch base along the ride. So, yeah, thank you so much.
You said you wrote this book to tell the stories of the people of where you grew up near Green Bay. What small town scenes or memories stand out to you that you really want to capture in this novel?
Yeah, I think I really wanted to just kind of capture the heartbeat and the kind of bloodline of everything that, you know, shaped me as a young man growing up in Seymour, Wisconsin, and small town America, and all the small towns across the state that I frequented growing up, just traveling with my family and seeing the landscape of it all. I think I wanted to, as much as possible, bear witness to the people that I love so much from there, the people that I've had a lot of time to reflect upon. And, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for my time there. I'm so thankful and feel so blessed to have grown up where I did, and in an area of America that really gave me the freedom to explore and adventure and dream and kind of instill this longing into everything that I do and have carried with me as I've moved on from Seymour and Wisconsin at large, although I still frequent as much as possible. But I wanted it to be a testament to the life there, the land there, and the people that are so special to me.
Sometimes we're called flyover country, as you know. Does Hollywood get us? Does Hollywood get the Midwest?
Honestly, I feel like sometimes the Midwest can be a little bit forgotten, or a little bit of an unknown, or a little bit of a stereotyped as far as the flyover states and all of that, as you reference. I think that the real fabric of life there can sometimes be missed, or can sometimes be misunderstood or mysterious to people that don't spend a lot of time there. You know, after I moved from the Midwest and went out to Los Angeles, it became pretty apparent to me that, you know, I think there was a dissonance between life there in the bigger cities and the coasts maybe, and life where I was from. And so I think with Blue Graffiti, I wanted to really capture the truth of it all and do justice to it, and to kind of get into the nuance and the complicated life that can be sometimes painted as simple from an outside observer, but it's really not. And it's full of beauty and wonderful, true to life people that seem to have found something very essential about it all. Mm. And I just, you know, the book is a testament to them. And of course, I want people that have never kind of stopped by along their way to these major cities or these more tourist attraction places or wherever it is, I want them to kind of get the feel of what life could be like there, and kind of this wonderful landscape that really is Wisconsin and the entire Midwest.
The bar, Jimmy's Place, where so much of Blue Graffiti seems to be like a magnet for the town. We keep coming back to it in the scenes, and you call it at one point the most special spot in America. How does bar culture affect small town life in Wisconsin, and how you approach it in your novel?
Yeah, it was something that affected me profoundly growing up, because I often found myself wandering in and out of them with my younger friends as we kind of ventured around. And one of the things I was doing as I was growing up is I was really, really, really big into basketball, and we had traveling teams, and that took us all over the state, you know. And oftentimes after the tournament would get done, we'd wander into bars like these all across Wisconsin with our parents as they kind of commune together and celebrate. And we would run around and kind of be these, we would be creating our own adventures, but we kind of be these little witnessers of everything that kind of made places like that special. And I remember growing up and thinking that they were very special, and you know, watching my parents interact with the other adults, and they seemed so, so magical to me and so large and kind of my heroes. And just, I always longed to understand what it was that brought them together and made them who they are and where they came from and why it was so, so magnetic to be in these places. So I spent my time as a kid in and around, and then as I grew up, obviously myself engaging with it. And I think that's something that I wanted to imbue with Cash, as far as it's kind of a place where he goes back to and kind of gets centered, you know, and feels aligned and in the pocket and at home. And he feels very nostalgic, and he longs for a time forgotten, but also what could be. And I think there's no better scene in small town America for a guy like Cash to feel at peace in, and to get back to his history and his roots and all the things that make him feel alive and also seem to be pushing him into the new frontier.
You held several book events on your home turf, a book event in Seymour in Plover, Green Bay. What was it like to read your book at your old high school in Seymour?
It was very surreal. You know, I felt very cool. Yeah, it was, you know, many people there that came out and showered me with love and support I hadn't seen in maybe over a decade. And others I had, of course, but some familiar faces that I hadn't crossed paths with in quite some time. But it, you know, it's kind of a theme in Blue Graffiti, but that I carry with me in my own life, is kind of these people had such a profound impact on me, and I've carried them with me ever since, whether or not we're engaging on a day-to-day basis anymore. But to kind of get to the root of my own life and to see these people in the auditorium and just this kind of full circle moment, and for them to be there celebrating a book that I had written, but a book that was a love letter to them most of all, was such a profound, special experience that it was very humbling and emotional. And I knew that starting the book tour off like that would be very special, and would be, I knew that event out of all of them would be the one that was the most emotional and kind of the one that was most intense for me. So it felt like the right way to start it off. And I was really, really thankful to be able to do that and kind of, you know, embrace the love that they had for me, but also to share the love that I had for them. So it was a wonderful evening.
Does being a published writer, a novelist, make you a better actor?
Well, it still sounds pretty surreal to even consider myself as a published novelist or a writer or any
You
of these
better start
labels.
absorbing that. Take it
I
on.
know. I know. I know. I'm trying. I'm doing what I can. I think that for me, the two art forms are intrinsically linked in a lot of ways that might surprise people, but I think they're all connected to the source of the thing that brings me the most life and passion and joy. And it's kind of this just artistic expression, certainly, but also this journeying and this interest in growing and gaining more depth and seeing the world in as many ways as I can, and experiencing the joys and the failures and the risks and the heartaches and everything. I love pursuing life in this way and living it as much as I can. And all of that fuels both art forms. So that's the stuff that makes me want to write. That's the stuff that inspires me as a writer. And the more I can kind of give into that process, I think I do become better at defining characters and diving into dreaming landscapes and my imagination, and all of those tools I can take over into the acting landscape as well and kind of use it in a different way, you know. So it all informs both things, all of life does, and I think they inform one another as well.
We're talking about the debut novel, Blue Graffiti, from actor and writer Callahan Skogman, who hails from Seymour, that is near Green Bay. Callahan, let's turn to the big screen. You've described your role of Matthias on the Netflix series Shadow and Bone as a role that changed your life. What have you learned from that role and being in that big production over the years?
I think that show, being a part of it, really forced me to enter into like a sphere of bravery that I didn't know that I necessarily had in me, or it really thrust me into this artistic landscape of facing my fears and facing, you know, this incredibly large conquest of acting in a Netflix show coming out of, you know, I was coming out of an MFA program, and I didn't even have a professional credit to my name. So it really, really thrusted me into the space and kind of was like, all right, Callahan, you got to step up to the plate and you got to be ready for this and you can do it. And I think it instilled in me a confidence through experience and just being able to, you know, hold my own and feel like I belonged there. And after that, you know, it's also been incredibly humbling. And just a journey that's filled me with a lot of gratitude, because I didn't anticipate how many people love Shadow and Bone and would by proxy start to support me and love me. And one of the best parts about the whole thing was that it gave me an opportunity to engage with so many more people and to spread love and kindness and kind of create something that meant a lot to other people. So that was always the best part for me. It continues to be a really special part of it all, that the fans of Shadow and Bone have kind of with open arms received me, and they've kind of transitioned in a way where it's like they're very supportive of the novel as well. And they kind of just seem to be on board with my pursuits in general, which is tough for me to quantify or put words to. It means the world to me. And I just hope that as I continue on in my career with acting or writing, I just hope that they know that they're always going to be with me. And that's kind of where it all started. So it's really hard to, overstate how much they mean to me and how much I learned through their graciousness and just their support and kind of the highs and lows of the journey and being on a Netflix show and coming into some kind of fame and just navigating that all and just growing up as a young man.
Can you give us a glimpse into the world of auditions and the world of casting and what you go through? And I understand when you got the role of Matthias, that took multiple auditions, but what are your nerves like? How do you go through the process?
Most everything with auditioning these days is self-tape. So it's all remote. You're not going into rooms anymore and showing up, walking in there and kind of introducing yourself to the casting team and having that moment of humanity before you even get started. So in a lot of ways, it's made things a lot easier. You can travel around and you can do everything remotely until you're actually needed in the city for maybe a callback or something. But at the same time, I think we lose a pretty special part of the process where you get to stand your ground and enter in there and show them who you are for a beat before you get into the scene, which is always exciting. And I really miss, and that was always nerve wracking, but really, really fulfilling as well. So now it's just, you'll get an audition or an opportunity and you put yourself on tape, and no matter where you are, like right now I'm on this book tour and I literally just filmed an audition this morning and I had to ask my uncle if he'd read the other part. And I had to set it up in the basement and try and navigate the natural light and find a cohesive, clean background. And then you do the tape, and, you know, I do them with my uncles and my aunts or my friends who don't know anything about acting and, or whatever it is. And you kind of just try to do what's best and put something great on tape. And then you send it off, and nine times, you know, it's very rare that you even hear anything back. It's a very cutthroat process. You know, you kind of have to get used to sending it out into the void and just being proud of what you do and having that fulfill you, because you're not going to get, if you're looking for fulfillment on the other end, that's a whole different thing. And it very rarely comes. So just be proud of your work, have fun doing the auditions and the self-tapes and sending them out and trusting that what will be. And when your opportunity arises, that you're ready for it.
It seems that you have a lot of people rooting for you in Wisconsin, in your community, really in your court. What do you tell a kid in Wisconsin who wants to act, but Hollywood, it just seems like a world away from where they are in a small community?
Yeah, well, I would say that it felt the same way to me. Huh. I think I would be very careful on putting a damper on anybody's dreams, no matter what they are, passions or things that they want to pursue. I think that in life, the thing that brings us the most fulfillment, or certainly for myself, has been the pursuit of things that I love doing. So it wasn't so much the making of it, actually, or the becoming, you know, a character on a Netflix show that was so extraordinary. Honestly, the process of pursuing that is what brings the most fulfillment. Of course, those are very high moments and fill you with a lot of endorphins and euphoria and everything, but that's not really the essential bones of it all, and it doesn't last. So I would say just fall in love with your craft and fall in love with the journey and whatever you're pursuing, if it is acting, and pursue that and make that the main focus. And whatever happens as far as a career or monetary situations or whatever it is going to be a byproduct of your pursuit. And, you know, you're going to have highs and lows. So I would also stress just not to listen to other people as much as yourself. If you have a love for something and you have a passion for it, pursue it. And the people that love you for who you are and want to support you being happy and whatever avenue that becomes, they'll show up and they'll be there and you'll talk to people and just, you know, as much as possible, try to listen to that spirit of yours and go after it, and anything's possible. And in the end, if you make it about the journey, then it's all going to be worth it regardless of the outcome.
Along this journey, a few months ago, you get the call that you're part of the Sony Pictures upcoming film, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, opposite Margot Robbie and others. What was that moment like?
That was one of the most incredible moments of my young life, I would say, in my acting life, for sure. I already had so much admiration for Margot and Colin. So I just, you know, as an observer and as someone who really adores and loves film and has a passion for it, they were already some of my favorite actors in the world. And Margot in particular, I've just loved for, you know, since I saw her in About Time years and years and years ago. She's been one of my favorites. And I think she's so profoundly talented. And so to meet her and to be on set with her, although brief as it was really special to me. And it was this moment of getting to know her for a second and seeing how kind and generous she is and how she goes about her process. I learned a lot about that because she's at the height of her fame and her talent, and, you know, the whole world adores her, and she still is so down to earth and welcoming. And she really made me feel comfortable. So we were able to create, you know, the moments and the vignettes in the film that we did. I just, you know, that's what I'm after. I hope I get more opportunities like that and, you know, just making the most of them and cherishing them along the way.
Is there a screenplay in you?
I've written five.
What are they, scrolled away in a drawer somewhere?
Yeah, I've written like five of them. I was writing them before I turned to novels, so I haven't gone back, but I'm still shopping them around. And we've had moments where some of them were very close to being picked up by hands that can make them and produce them. It's very, very, very difficult to get a screenplay made. Mm. You know, I'm hoping along the journey of becoming a writer and having books out there, and Blue Graffiti exists now, I hope that brings a little bit. Sometimes you need a little bit of cred to your name as a writer to kind of get you in the door and for people to take your work seriously. But in that way, I hope Blue Graffiti is an opportunity for me as a writer to be like, here I am. Like, I love this thing, and I think I have ideas that are worth exploring. So hopefully it opens a few doors for me as a screenwriter as well. And I can say, hey, here's my entire portfolio. We can make whatever you want. I'm ready.
Callahan, thank you so much for the conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, it's my honor. I appreciate taking the time to, you know, settle in and talk about these things. And whenever anyone has interest in what I've got going on, Blue Graffiti or otherwise, it means a lot to me. So I really appreciate you.
And that is Callahan Skogman, an actor and writer, grew up in Seymour, Wisconsin, near Green Bay, and his debut novel is called Blue Graffiti.
This is Wisconsin Today. Whether you miss part of a conversation, you want to listen to it again, or you want to share it with somebody else, you could do it all. Find all of our Wisconsin Today stories online at WPR.org. While you're at WPR.org, check out Q&As and articles related to this program and all the latest news and information that you need in a busy world. Again, head over to WPR.org.